Trinity Baptist Church.
Hear this portion of the story of God from the book that gives life. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan into the land that I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." The word of the Lord.
When I was growing up, there was a television show that kind of embodied it. It captured the essence of what real strength and courage is all about. It was called Popeye. Popeye was ripped. I think we have a picture of Popeye. Yeah. The forearm to bicep ratio is a little disturbing, actually. But Popeye was the epitome of strength and courage. And not only was he strong, but he had sex appeal. Because, at least with one particular woman, remember her name? Well, I think we have a picture of Olive. Olive was, this beautiful, brunette who just was, there's something about her that just grabbed Popeye's heart. And Popeye was always doing stuff. He was always having to come to the rescue, to rescue Olive Oil. There was one other character in the Popeye saga, and he was not strong. He was not courageous. He was actually a coward. And he was kind of manipulative. And he had a tagline that was contrary to Popeye's tagline. Remember what Popeye's tagline was? "I am strong to the finish because I eats me spinach," right? Which was this grand conspiracy to get kids to eat their vegetables. That was Popeye, but this other character had another tagline. His tagline was, "I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today." Remember who this was? Wimpy. We got a picture of Wimpy. There's Wimpy. We don't need these guys anymore. So question. Who do you think I wanted to be growing up, Popeye or Wimpy? Okay, the lack of strong consensus there is a little disappointing. I wanted to be Popeye because I wanted to be strong. I wanted to be courageous. And there's something, nobody in here wants to be Wimpy. I don't think there's any one of us that wake up in the morning and say, you know, today I think I'm going to be a coward. There's something that's part of our DNA that says, I want to be strong and courageous. And the reason is because God has wired us that way. God wants us to live strong and courageous lives. And that's what we're going to look at this morning in the first chapter of Joshua. So if you would turn there, if you take your Bibles, you can find it in the Pew Bible or on your phone. And can I just rant maybe a little bit? It's not a rant. It's an encouragement. Bring your Bible. I know we've got Pew Bibles, and I know that you've got Bibles on your phone, but at least as we're going through this book of Joshua, there may be verses you want to highlight or underline. There may be things you want to write in the margins, and you can't do that on a smartphone, and we'd rather you not do that in the Pew Bible, okay? So you need a hard copy of your own. And if you don't have one and you can't afford one, come find me and we'll get you one. All right? End of rant. Okay. Thanks be to God. Now, last week we kicked off this series in the book of Joshua called Taking New Ground, and where we are going to learn some things through Israel's conquest of Canaan about what it means to take new ground in our lives. What it means for us to step forward into the abundant life, more deeply into the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. And last week we looked at Joshua and just kind of looked at an overview of his life, and just to kind of set the stage for this series. And if you'd like to hear the sermon, you can go online and you can download that. But this morning we're going to look at these first 9 verses. And God says essentially one thing to Joshua in these verses that Beth read to us a moment ago. Essentially, he says, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And because of that promise, because of my presence in your life, I want you to be strong and I want you to live with courage. You see, what we need to hear from these opening verses of the book of Joshua is that life with God means living with courage. Living the abundant life is synonymous with living a courageous life. This was true for Joshua, and it is true for us. But we have two problems when it comes to living a life of courage. One is a definition problem, and the other is a doing problem. So let's talk about the definition problem for a minute. Our tendency is to define courage as some extreme or extraordinary or heroic act. Someone goes into a burning building to rescue a child, and we see that as courageous, and it is. Or Rosa Parks keeps her seat on that bus in 1955 in Montgomery, Alabama, and we see that as courageous, and it is. We tend to think of courage or courageous act as these extraordinary or heroic things. But what we see in God's words to Joshua, and thus his words to us, is what God's talking about. He's not talking about extreme or extraordinary courage. He's talking about everyday kind of courage. He's talking about tell the truth even when it's hard kind of courage. He's talking about the single parent trying to raise a child kind of courage. He's talking about the have the guts to get help with that thing kind of courage. You see, every decision that we make every day take courage. And what God is saying is, I want you to be strong and courageous in all of that little stuff. Now, you know, they're not going to make headlines and nobody's going to post it on YouTube. But the little things of life take courage nonetheless. And these little things that we step out and take courage in actually do more to change us into the person that God wants us to be than the big things. It's the little things that change us into the person that enables us to do the big things. That's the courage that God is talking about. And that leads to our second problem with courage, and that is the doing problem. You see, having courage is not something you think about. Having courage is something that you do. For whatever reason, we Christians tend to have these passive approaches to spiritual growth. We, you know, read books and we go to seminars and we attend church, and those are all good things. But I bet if I asked you about a moment in your life where you turned a corner, a moment in your life where you went from one side of the Jordan to the other, a moment in your life where you took new ground and became a new person and experienced growth in your life, I can almost guarantee that you would tell me, not of a seminar or a book, but you would tell me of a moment where you made a decision that took courage and you stepped out and you did it. You see, we have a doing problem when it comes to courage. It's that little thing that we step out and that we do that changes us. There are some things that we can learn about courage in these first few verses of the book of Joshua and what that should look like in our daily lives. Look at verse 1. Joshua's story begins with five, what I think are terrifying words. It says, after the death of Moses. Those are terrifying words. Why are they terrifying? Because Moses was the guy. Moses was the leader. Moses was the face of the franchise. Moses was the guy who always took responsibility. Need somebody to stand up to Pharaoh? Moses will do that. Need somebody to go up on the mountain and get the Ten Commandments? Moses will do that. Oops, need another copy of the Ten Commandments? Moses will do that, right? Moses was always the guy to step up and take responsibility, which, by default, enabled others to step back and sit back and cross their arms and complain. And just as a brief aside, you will notice in life that you cannot complain and take responsibility at the same time. Those things are mutually exclusive. That's free. You can just... all of that changes for Joshua. The moment that God says, Moses, my servant, is gone. Now it's up to you. It's time for you, Joshua, to take courage, step up, and take responsibility. And friends, that's the first thing that we need to understand about what true courage is. True courage is taking responsibility. God is calling each of us to take responsibility in some part of our lives right now. And if you're curious about where God is calling you to take responsibility, it's really not that hard to figure out. It's that place where you are avoiding it. right? All you have to do is look at your life, and the place where God wants you to take responsibility is that place where you know that you know you're avoiding it. Maybe it's that hard conversation that you are reluctant to have with a coworker or a spouse or a friend. Maybe it's a conflict that you've been avoiding. Maybe there's an area of struggle, habitual sin in your life that you aren't taking responsibility for. Our problem is not that we don't know where we're supposed to take responsibility. Our problem is that we're afraid to do it. We're afraid to take action on it. This has been a part of the human dilemma since Adam and Eve made that decision and ate the fruit, right? When God came to Adam and said, hey, what happened? Remember Adam's response? Adam didn't say, God, you got it. It's on me. I knew better. You told me, but I ate it. What did Adam say? Not my fault. She did it. It was her fault. And in fact, God, it's your fault because you gave the woman to me. Right? Adam's pointing the finger at everywhere but himself. He's avoiding responsibility. And we've been doing the same thing ever since. I don't know if you know this, but avoiding responsibility can cause or reinforce low self-esteem and even depression in our lives. There are studies that track this kind of stuff. And when you break commitments, when you consistently blame others, when you rationalize wrongdoing over and over, when you avoid stepping up and taking initiative, you're actually damaging your soul. And it's not just because it's psychological, and it's not just about brain chemistry. The reason is because God created us for responsibility. Do you know that? Genesis chapter 1, after he creates the man and the woman, what does he say? He says, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. I want you to rule over the beasts and the fish and everything. I want you to, in essence, he's saying, I want you to take responsibility for creation. Friends, God wants us to take responsibility for our lives. And that takes courage. God wants us to step up. True courage is taking responsibility. The second thing true courage is, it's the courage to make a change. Israel had been wandering in the desert for 40 years. Do you know what you call something that you've been doing for 40 years? Normal. Right? It's just normal. Israel has been in the desert for 40 years. It's what they did. It's what they knew. And so, when God says to Joshua these words, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. We might think those are exciting words, right? Ooh, fist bump. High five. You know, break out the bubbly. We're going in. You think Israel was feeling that? I think they're terrified. I mean, they've been at this very place before. And they can look across the river and they know what's on the other side of the river. There are Canaanite cities with Canaanite armies that are trained to kill non-Canaanite people. And we're supposed to go over there? Israel being in the wilderness was not a great thing. But the truth is, it would have been a whole lot easier and a whole lot safer just to stay where they were. It wasn't ideal. But when have people not been willing to trade the ideal for what is known, for what is familiar, for what is comfortable, for what is normal? Friends, just because your life is relatively comfortable and you might describe it as normal, that doesn't mean you're not stuck in the desert. Too often we settle for less than the ideal, for less than the abundant life that God has for us, because we're comfortable and we're used to it. It's normal, but it's still the desert. It's not the promised land. It's not the new ground that God is calling us to take. So when he says, get ready to cross the Jordan, I think that's going to stir up some fear. Andy Stanley says, we're afraid for two reasons. He says, first, you're afraid of what others might find out about you. Secondly, you're afraid of what you might find out about you. We're afraid sometimes to make the changes that we need, to step out in courage to make the changes that need to be made in our lives, because we're afraid to find out what's really down underneath. We get trapped in our fear. But friends, fear can be a great catalyst for courage. Fear can be the thing that wakes us up. Fear can be the thing that at the end of the day moves us to the place where we stop pretending that normal is okay, and we take those steps that we need to take to make the changes that need to be made so that we can step into the abundant life that God has for us. The third thing that true courage is the courage to be obedient to God and his word. When God comes to Joshua and calls him into the land, he says in verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Now, we could do a whole series on just these couple of verses. And next week, we're gonna look at them a little more deeply and talk about what it means to be obedient to the scriptures. But in essence, God says, he's reminding Joshua, he says, there are going to be moments along this journey where it will seem easier and more convenient to veer away from what I've said, to veer to the left or to veer to the right or just to go a different way. And if you read through the whole book of Joshua and into the book of Judges, you'll see that over and over and over again, Israel goes their own way and it doesn't work out so well. But why did they do it? Because it was easier. Because they were afraid. Often the greatest act of strength and courage we can have in our lives is the courage to be obedient to God and his word. You know, it's interesting to me, if you read through the promises that God gives in verses 3 through 6 about, you know, taking the land, nobody's going to be able to stand against you, I'm going to give you, you know, every place you set your foot, all of those promises, and not one point does God give an explanation of how he's going to do it. Not one place. He just says, do it. As God's people, we have to learn to live by the promises of God's word and not explanations. We have to learn to walk by faith instead of by sight. And when we stay true to God's word, when we trust God's word and step out in faith, we can be sure that God will give us the practical, physical directions we need when we need them. And he will give us the strength that we need to stay the course. Anyone who has done premarital counseling with me, and there's some of you in this room that have, and I've told this story in a few venues. You've heard about my Third Avenue moments, and when I talk about Third Avenue moments, there have been, Deanne and I have had some really rough seasons in our marriage, as all marriages have. But there was a particular time that I remember vividly when the twins were really small. And Dee and I didn't have much energy for each other. And so we were kind of at each other a lot. And things were tough at work. And I wasn't getting much sleep. And so I would be walking from our apartment to come to the church, and I'd get to Third Avenue, and the light would blink, and it would say walk, and I would think, great idea, and I would literally have these thoughts that, okay, I could be in a cab, I could get in a cab, I could be at JFK in 30 minutes, I could be in the Caribbean in 5 hours, and no one would know where I am. Those weren't just fleeting fantasy. That was, I'm armed with my credit card. I can go. And then the light would change and it would say, don't walk. And I would say, okay. And so I wouldn't. And I would come down to the church, and I'd come into my office, and I'd get on my knees, and I'd say, Lord, I need your grace to get me through today, and then we'll have this conversation tomorrow, because I am struggling right now. I don't want to be in my marriage. I don't want to be a dad. I don't want to be a pastor. I just want out. But the thing is, I have his promises. I don't have explanations. I have his promises, and I have his word, and I'm called to be faithful to this. I'm called to be faithful to my family. I'm called to be faithful to my wife. I'm called to be faithful to the job that he's put me in for now. And I need to trust him that he will be faithful to what he said. Fast forward a few years. And here I am today, and I have a family that I absolutely adore. I have my twins that drove me nuts when they wouldn't let me sleep at night. Are now about to graduate from high school and go to college, and my wife that I adore, we are so looking forward to empty nest time. Yeah, baby! You know, I mean, we love them, and we're going to love to say, see you later. See you at Thanksgiving. You know, I have a job at Trinity, a ministry here that I wouldn't trade. But I think about those Third Avenue moments and think, what would have happened if I would have walked? What would I, the blessings that I would have missed out on if I had not been faithful to God and his word? And friends, God has been faithful to me. Even though he didn't give me explanations back then, in hindsight, I can see all that he was doing and who he was making me to be. True courage is taking God at his word, even without explanation. God said to Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot as promised. He made a promise, and God never misses on a promise. Taking the land was not simply an exercise in courageous living, but it was about having the courage to take God at his word. And every place that you put your foot, that is a pretty bold promise, isn't it? It included the city just over the Jordan River called Jericho. And standing on the east side of the river, you could see the imposing walls of Jericho. And those walls just screamed at Israel, don't even try it. And yet God said, I want you to go and I want you to take the city. And we know how the story goes, right? I mean, they go over and God gives them this strange strategy and says, you know, I want you to march around it. And then I want you to, you know, get the musicians, get the band out front, and which is kind of weird, you know. You know, I want you to lead with the band. And so they do. And they start marching, and then the trumpets start blowing, and the walls come down, and they take the city. See, God said, take me at my word. And they did. And just as he told Joshua in these verses, you will be prosperous and successful. I will give you every place you put your foot. I can't think of a greater way to have courage in this life than to take God at his word. Confess and you will be healed. That's a promise. Forgive and you will find freedom. That's a promise. Serve and you will taste success. That's a promise. Give and you will experience abundance and joy. That's a promise. But will we take him at his word? Friends, nobody wants to be wimpy. All of us want to be strong and courageous, to live these lives that make a difference in the everyday. And the promise that God made to Moses, the promise that he made to Joshua, is the promise that he made to Jesus. And it's the promise that Jesus makes to us. And that is, never will I leave you or forsake you. Jesus said, I will be with you to the end of the age. Friends, if you want to be strong to the finish, it's not about eating spinach. It's about relying on the promise of God that he will be with you. Real life, abundant life, fulfilling life is not on the east side of the Jordan. It's over there in Canaan, east, west. It's not on the east side of the Jordan. It's on the west side in Canaan. And God's called us to go over, and he's called us to take new ground. He promises he will be with us. The question is, will you take responsibility? Will you step up and make the change? Will you take God at his word and be obedient to what he's called you to, living on the promises, not on explanation? Will you do those things so that you can take new ground? Let's pray. Lord, even as I stand here, you are bringing to my mind those places in my life that I am avoiding responsibility. I pray that you will give me the courage to step up. I pray, Lord, that you will give me the courage to make the change that I need to make, changes. And I pray, Lord, that you will help me to remember your faithfulness in my life all these years and to know that you will continue to be faithful. I just need to stay true to you. Lord, I pray for each one in this room that Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who's just kind of living with the status quo because it's comfortable, I pray, Lord, that they will know that you are not a God of the status quo, that you are a God that wants great things in us. You want us to experience the more is better life. You want us to experience the promised land. Lord, I pray that we would not be afraid of the things in the promised land that we think will kill us, because at the end of the day, you have made promises that you will be with us. And if you are with us, who can be against us? I want you to just take a moment and let the Lord speak to you and show you those areas in your life where He wants you to step up, to show you those areas in your life where you're living in the desert and it just has become normal, to show you those areas where you are not taking Him at His word. Let the Lord speak to you. Now ask Him to give you the courage that you need. We're going to come to the table. And I can't think of a better example of courage than Jesus. When he's in Gethsemane and he's praying to the Father and he says, "Dad, there's got to be a plan B. I don't want to do this. And yet, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus stayed true to the Father, and it took incredible courage to do what he did. But he did it because he knew the Father would be with him, and he did it because he loved us, and he knew that through this, through his cross, through his resurrection, we too could experience the life that he came to give us. So as we come to the table this morning, as you take these elements that are symbolic, the bread is symbolic of Christ's body being broken for us, and the juice is symbolic of his blood being shed for us. As you take these elements and hold them in your hand, think of the courage that it took Jesus to do that. And think of the life that he has invited us into because he did. If you're visiting with us this morning, we have four stations. There's two in the front and two in the back. You can go to any of the four. There's no order to this. You just go when you're ready. And the only caveat is that you have come to that place where you have said to God, yes, I want to follow you. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want Jesus to be my leader, and I will follow you. If you have made that decision to follow Christ, then you are welcome to come to the table. And at Trinity, we do it in community. So it's not just one person at the table at a time. It's three or four so that we can experience the common union that we have in Christ. So as the praise team comes and leads us, that's our invitation to come to the table.
Hear this portion of the story of God from the book that gives life. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land that I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The word of the Lord.
When I was growing up, there was a television show that kind of embodied it. It captured the essence of what real strength and courage is all about. It was called Popeye. You know, I mean, Popeye was ripped. I think we have a picture of Popeye. Yeah. The forearm to bicep ratio is a little disturbing, actually. But Popeye was, he was the epitome of strength and courage. And not only was he strong, but he had sex appeal. Because, at least with one particular woman, there, remember her name? Well, I think we have a picture of Olive. Olive was, you know, this beautiful, you know, brunette who just was, there's something about her that just grabbed Popeye's heart. And Popeye was always doing stuff. He was always having to come to the rescue, to rescue Olive Oil. There was one other character in the Popeye saga, and he was not strong. He was not courageous. He was actually a coward, and he was kind of manipulative, and he had a tagline that was contrary to Popeye's tagline. Remember what Popeye's tagline was? I am strong to the finish because I eats me spinach, right? Which was this grand conspiracy to get kids to eat their vegetables. But that was Popeye. But this other character had another tagline. His tagline was, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. Remember what this? Who this was? Wimpy. We got a picture of Wimpy. There's Wimpy. Okay, we don't need these guys anymore. All right. So, question. Who do you think I wanted to be growing up? Popeye or Wimpy? Okay, the lack of strong consensus there is a little disappointing. I wanted to be Popeye because I wanted to be strong. I wanted to be courageous. And there's something, nobody in here wants to be Wimpy. I don't think there's any one of us that wake up in the morning and say, you know, today I think I'm going to be a coward. There's something that's part of our DNA that says, I want to be strong and courageous. And the reason is because God has wired us that way. God wants us to live strong and courageous lives. And that's what we're going to look at this morning in the first chapter of Joshua. So if you would turn there, if you'd take your Bibles, you can find it in the Pew Bible or on your phone. And can I just rant maybe a little bit? It's not a rant. It's an encouragement. Bring your Bible. I know we've got Pew Bibles, and I know that you've got Bibles on your phone, but at least as we're going through this book of Joshua, there may be verses you want to highlight or underline. There may be things you want to write in the margins. And you can't do that on a smartphone. And we'd rather you not do that in the Pew Bible. Okay? So you need a hard copy of your own. And if you don't have one and you can't afford one, come find me and we'll get you one. All right? End of rant. Okay. Thanks be to God. Now, last week we kicked off this series in the book of Joshua called Taking New Ground, and where we are going to learn some things through Israel's conquest of Canaan about what it means to take new ground in our lives, what it means for us to step forward into the abundant life, more deeply into the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. And last week we looked at Joshua and just kind of looked at an overview of his life, and just to kind of set the stage for this series. And if you'd like to hear the sermon, you can go online and you can download that. But this morning we're going to look at these first nine verses, and God says essentially one thing to Joshua in these verses that Beth read to us a moment ago. Essentially, he says, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And because of that promise, because of my presence in your life, I want you to be strong and I want you to live with courage. You see, what we need to hear from these opening verses of the book of Joshua is that life with God means living with courage. Living the abundant life is synonymous with living a courageous life. This was true for Joshua, and it is true for us. But we have two problems when it comes to living a life of courage. One is a definition problem, and the other is a doing problem. So let's talk about the definition problem for a minute. Our tendency is to define courage as some extreme or extraordinary or heroic act. Someone goes into a burning building to rescue a child, and we see that as courageous, and it is. Or Rosa Parks keeps her seat on that bus in 1955 in Montgomery, Alabama, and we see that as courageous, and it is. We tend to think of courage or courageous act as these extraordinary or heroic things. But what we see in God's words to Joshua, and thus his words to us, is what God's talking about. He's not talking about extreme or extraordinary courage. He's talking about everyday kind of courage. He's talking about tell the truth even when it's hard kind of courage. He's talking about the single parent trying to raise a child kind of courage. He's talking about the have the guts to get help with that thing kind of courage. You see, every decision that we make every day take courage. And what God is saying is, I want you to be strong and courageous in all of that little stuff. Now, you know, they're not going to make headlines and nobody's going to post it on YouTube. But the little things of life take courage nonetheless. And these little things that we step out and take courage in actually do more to change us into the person that God wants us to be than the big things. It's the little things that change us into the person that enables us to do the big things. That's the courage that God is talking about. And that leads to our second problem with courage, and that is the doing problem. You see, having courage is not something you think about. Having courage is something that you do. For whatever reason, we Christians tend to have these passive approaches to spiritual growth. We, you know, read books and we go to seminars and we attend church. And those are all good things. But I bet if I asked you about a moment in your life where you turned a corner, a moment in your life where you went from one side of the Jordan to the other, a moment in your life where you took new ground and became a new person and experienced growth in your life, I can almost guarantee that you would tell me, not of a seminar or a book, but you would tell me of a moment where you made a decision that took courage and you stepped out and you did it. You see, we have a doing problem when it comes to courage. It's that little thing that we step out and that we do that changes us. There are some things that we can learn about courage in these first few verses of the book of Joshua. and what that should look like in our daily lives. Look at verse 1. Joshua's story begins with five, what I think are terrifying words. It says, after the death of Moses. Those are terrifying words. Why are they terrifying? Because Moses was the guy. Moses was the leader. Moses was the face of the franchise. Moses was the guy who always took responsibility. Need somebody to stand up to Pharaoh? Moses will do that. Need somebody to go up on the mountain and get the Ten Commandments? Moses will do that. Oops, need another copy of the Ten Commandments? Moses will do that, right? Moses was always the guy to step up and take responsibility, which by default enabled others to step back and sit back and cross their arms and complain. And just as a brief aside, you will notice in life that you cannot complain and take responsibility at the same time. Those things are mutually exclusive. That's free. You can just... all of that changes for Joshua. The moment that God says, Moses, my servant, is gone. Now it's up to you. It's time for you, Joshua, to take courage, step up, and take responsibility. And friends, that's the first thing that we need to understand about what true courage is. True courage is taking responsibility. God is calling each of us to take responsibility in some part of our lives right now. And if you're curious about where God is calling you to take responsibility, it's really not that hard to figure out. It's that place where you are avoiding it. Right? All you have to do is look at your life, and the place where God wants you to take responsibility is that place where you know that you know you're avoiding it. Maybe it's that hard conversation that you are reluctant to have with a coworker or a spouse or a friend. Maybe it's a conflict that you've been avoiding. Maybe there's an area of struggle, habitual sin in your life that you aren't taking responsibility for. Our problem is not that we don't know where we're supposed to take responsibility. Our problem is that we're afraid to do it. We're afraid to take action on it. This has been a part of the human dilemma since Adam and Eve made that decision and ate the fruit. Right? When God came to Adam and said, hey, what happened? Remember Adam's response? Adam didn't say, God, you got it. It's on me. I knew better. You told me, but I ate it. What did Adam say? Not my fault. She did it. It was her fault. And in fact, God, it's your fault because you gave the woman to me. Right? Adam's pointing the finger at everywhere but himself. He's avoiding responsibility. And we've been doing the same thing ever since. I don't know if you know this, but avoiding responsibility can cause or reinforce low self-esteem and even depression in our lives. There are studies that track this kind of stuff. And when you break commitments, when you consistently blame others, when you rationalize wrongdoing over and over, when you avoid stepping up and taking initiative, you're actually damaging your soul. And it's not just because it's psychological and it's not just about brain chemistry. The reason is because God created us for responsibility. Do you know that? Genesis chapter 1, after he creates the man and the woman, what does he say? He says, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. I want you to rule over the beasts and the fish and everything. I want you to, in essence, he's saying, I want you to take responsibility for creation. Friends, God wants us to take responsibility for our lives. And that takes courage. God wants us to step up. True courage is taking responsibility. The second thing true courage is, it's the courage to make a change. Israel had been wandering in the desert for 40 years. Do you know what you call something that you've been doing for 40 years? Normal. Right? It's just normal. Israel has been in the desert for 40 years. It's what they did. It's what they knew. And so, when God says to Joshua these words, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. We might think those are exciting words, right? Ooh, fist bump. High five. You know, break out the bubbly. We're going in. You think Israel was feeling that? I think they're terrified. I mean, they've been at this very place before. And they can look across the river and they know what's on the other side of the river. There are Canaanite cities with Canaanite armies that are trained to kill non-Canaanite people. And we're supposed to go over there? Israel being in the wilderness was not a great thing. But the truth is, it would have been a whole lot easier and a whole lot safer just to stay where they were. It wasn't ideal. But when have people not been willing to trade the ideal for what is known, for what is familiar, for what is comfortable, for what is normal? Friends, just because your life is relatively comfortable and you might describe it as normal, that doesn't mean you're not stuck in the desert. Too often we settle for less than the ideal, for less than the abundant life that God has for us, because we're comfortable and we're used to it. It's normal, but it's still the desert. It's not the promised land. It's not the new ground that God is calling us to take. So when he says, get ready to cross the Jordan, I think that's going to stir up some fear. Andy Stanley says, we're afraid for two reasons. He says, first, you're afraid of what others might find out about you. Secondly, you're afraid of what you might find out about you. We're afraid sometimes to make the changes that we need, to step out in courage to make the changes that need to be made in our lives, because we're afraid to find out what's really down underneath. We get trapped in our fear. But friends, fear can be a great catalyst for courage. Fear can be the thing that wakes us up. Fear can be the thing that at the end of the day moves us to the place where we stop pretending that normal is okay, and we take those steps that we need to take to make the changes that need to be made so that we can step into the abundant life that God has for us. The third thing that true courage is the courage to be obedient to God and his word. When God comes to Joshua and calls him into the land, he says in verse 7, Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Now, we could do a whole series on just these couple of verses. And next week, we're gonna look at them a little more deeply and talk about what it means to be obedient to the Scriptures. But in essence, God says, he's reminding Joshua, he says, there are going to be moments along this journey where it will seem easier and more convenient to veer away from what I've said, to veer to the left or to veer to the right or just to go a different way. And if you read through the whole book of Joshua and into the book of Judges, you'll see that over and over and over again, Israel goes their own way. And it doesn't work out so well. but why did they do it? Because it was easier. Because they were afraid. Often the greatest act of strength and courage we can have in our lives is the courage to be obedient to God and His Word. You know, it's interesting to me, if you read through the promises that God gives in verses 3 through 6 about, you know, taking the land, nobody's going to be able to stand against you, I'm going to give you, you know, every place you set your foot. All of those promises, and not one point does God give an explanation of how He's going to do it. Not one place. He just says, do it. As God's people, we have to learn to live by the promises of God's Word and not explanations. We have to learn to walk by faith instead of by sight. And when we stay true to God's Word, when we trust God's Word and step out in faith, we can be sure that God will give us the practical, physical directions we need when we need them. And He will give us the strength that we need to stay the course. Anyone who has done premarital counseling with me, and there's some of you in this room that have, and I've told this story in a few venues. You've heard about my Third Avenue moments, and when I talk about Third Avenue moments, there have been, Deanne and I have had some really rough seasons in our marriage, as all marriages have. But there was a particular time that I remember vividly when the twins were really small. And Dee and I didn't have much energy for each other. And so we were kind of at each other a lot. And things were tough at work. And I wasn't getting much sleep. And so I would be walking from our apartment to come to the church, and I'd get to Third Avenue, and the light would blink, and it would say walk, and I would think, great idea, and I would literally have these thoughts that, okay, I could be in a cab, I could get in a cab, I could be at JFK in 30 minutes, I could be in the Caribbean in 5 hours, and no one would know where I am. Those weren't just fleeting fantasy. That was, I'm armed with my credit card. I can go. And then the light would change and it would say, don't walk. And I would say, okay. And so I wouldn't. And I would come down to the church, and I'd come into my office, and I'd get on my knees, and I'd say, Lord, I need your grace to get me through today. And then we'll have this conversation tomorrow. Because I am struggling right now. I don't want to be in my marriage. I don't want to be a dad. I don't want to be a pastor. I just want out. But the thing is, I have his promises. I don't have explanations. I have his promises, and I have his word, and I'm called to be faithful to this. I'm called to be faithful to my family. I'm called to be faithful to my wife. I'm called to be faithful to the job that he's put me in for now. And I need to trust him that he will be faithful to what he said. Fast forward a few years. And here I am today, and I have a family that I absolutely adore. I have my twins that drove me nuts when they wouldn't let me sleep at night. Are now about to graduate from high school and go to college, and my wife that I adore, we are so looking forward to empty nest time. Yeah, baby! You know, I mean, we love them, and we're going to love to say, see you later. See you at Thanksgiving. You know, I have a job at Trinity, a ministry here that I wouldn't trade. But I think about those Third Avenue moments and think, what would have happened if I would have walked? What would I, the blessings that I would have missed out on if I had not been faithful to God and his word? And friends, God has been faithful to me. Even though he didn't give me explanations back then, in hindsight, I can see all that he was doing and who he was making me to be. True courage is taking God at his word, even without explanation. God said to Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot as promised. He made a promise, and God never misses on a promise. Taking the land was not simply an exercise in courageous living, but it was about having the courage to take God at his word. And every place that you put your foot, that is a pretty bold promise, isn't it? It included the city just over the Jordan River called Jericho. And standing on the east side of the river, you could see the imposing walls of Jericho. And those walls just screamed at Israel, don't even try it. And yet God said, I want you to go and I want you to take the city. And we know how the story goes, right? I mean, they go over and God gives them this strange strategy and says, you know, I want you to march around it. And then I want you to, you know, get the musicians, get the band out front, and which is kind of weird, you know. You know, I want you to lead with the band. And so they do. And they start marching, and then the trumpets start blowing and the walls come down and they take the city. See, God said, take me at my word. And they did. And just as he told Joshua in these verses, you will be prosperous and successful. I will give you every place you put your foot. I can't think of a greater way to have courage in this life than to take God at his word. Confess and you will be healed. That's a promise. Forgive and you will find freedom. That's a promise. Serve, and you will taste success. That's a promise. Give, and you will experience abundance and joy. That's a promise. But will we take him at his word? Friends, nobody wants to be wimpy. All of us want to be strong and courageous, to live these lives that make a difference in the everyday. And the promise that God made to Moses, the promise that he made to Joshua, is the promise that he made to Jesus. And it's the promise that Jesus makes to us. And that is, never will I leave you or forsake you. Jesus said, I will be with you to the end of the age. Friends, if you want to be strong to the finish, it's not about eating spinach. It's about relying on the promise of God that he will be with you. Real life, abundant life, fulfilling life is not on the east side of the Jordan. It's over there in Canaan, east, west. It's not on the east side of the Jordan. It's on the west side in Canaan. And God's called us to go over, and he's called us to take new ground. He promises he will be with us. The question is, will you take responsibility? Will you step up and make the change? Will you take God at his word and be obedient to what he's called you to, living on the promises, not on explanation? Will you do those things so that you can take new ground? Let's pray. Lord, even as I stand here, you are bringing to my mind those places in my life that I am avoiding responsibility. I pray that you will give me the courage to step up. I pray, Lord, that you will give me the courage to make the change that I need to make, changes. And I pray, Lord, that you will help me to remember your faithfulness in my life all these years and to know that you will continue to be faithful. I just need to stay true to you. Lord, I pray for each one in this room that Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who's just kind of living with the status quo because it's comfortable, I pray, Lord, that they will know that you are not a God of the status quo, that you are a God that wants great things in us. You want us to experience the more is better life. You want us to experience the promised land. Lord, I pray that we would not be afraid of the things in the promised land that we think will kill us, because at the end of the day, you have made promises that you will be with us. And if you are with us, who can be against us? want you to just take a moment and let the Lord speak to you and show you those areas in your life where He wants you to step up. To show you those areas in your life where you're living in the desert and it just has become normal. To show you those areas where you are not taking Him at His word. Just let the Lord speak to you. Now ask Him to give you the courage that you need. We're going to come to the table. And I can't think of a better example of courage than Jesus. When He's in Gethsemane and He's praying to the Father and He says, "Dad, there's got to be a plan B. I don't want to do this." And yet, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus stayed true to the Father, and it took incredible courage to do what He did. But He did it because He knew the Father would be with Him. And He did it because He loved us. And He knew that through this, through His cross, through His resurrection, we too could experience the life that He came to give us. So as we come to the table this morning, as you take these elements that are symbolic, the bread is symbolic of Christ's body being broken for us, and the juice is symbolic of His blood being shed for us. As you take these elements and hold them in your hand, think of the courage that it took Jesus to do that. And think of the life that He has invited us into because He did. If you're visiting with us this morning, we have four stations. There's two in the front and two in the back. You can go to any of the four. There's no order to this. You just go when you're ready. And the only caveat is that you have come to that place where you have said to God, "Yes, I want to follow You. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want Jesus to be my leader. And I will follow You." If you have made that decision to follow Christ, then you are welcome to come to the table. And at Trinity, we do it in community. So there, it's not just one person at the table at a time. It's three or four so that we can experience the common union that we have in Christ. So as the praise team comes and leads us, that's our invitation to come to the table.